God. You can be seated. Go ahead and be seated. I told somebody, Stephen already let the secret out earlier, and I said, well, it's a good thing. It's a good sign they're not packing up their bags. It's a good sign that they're not ushering themselves out the door. But I'm humbled to be able to talk to you guys tonight. Humbled to be able to preach and deliver the word of God in this place. And how many appreciate your pastor? Well, we sure miss him when he's not here. And so thankful for everything that he does. A man that cares and is sincere and is truly a man of God. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who like the esteem that status gives or position gives to be a pastor or whatever. But on their daily life and their daily walk, they have a lot of shortcomings and inadequacies and things that aren't good for what a pastor should be. And being around the pastor for several years now and being in his home, I can truly say that he is a man of integrity. He is a man of truth. He is a man that is real. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to have any other way. I'm thankful for the man that pastors this church. I'm thankful for a shepherd that loves me, that cares about me, and is willing to spend his time. And you don't feel like that you're wasting his time when you're around. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, so you'll have to put up with me this evening. And like a good brother told me a few minutes ago, he said, it's not the messenger, it's the message. And that is true. You know, we have different preachers and preacher styles and their charisma or the way they bring forth things that we may like and have kind of a favorite way of delivery. But really, it's all about the message. It's good when you're telling the truth. It's not the teller, it's the truth that sets you free. So if the man's telling the truth, it's good. Right? Praise God. All right, I got to come out of this coat. It's too constrictive. All right, praise God. Well, I do really feel like I have a message from God for us this evening. For whoever's in this place, maybe it's just for one individual, maybe it's for many. I think it's for many, but I do know for surety and for fact that there's no doubt that it's for me. There's no doubt in my mind that I have a message that God is, it's heavy on my heart. And if I'm preaching to anyone, and if I'm speaking to anyone in this sanctuary tonight, then it is definitely me. And I need this, and I want this, and I've got to have it in my life. And I'm going to do everything I can to apply it. Praise God. I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Acts. Very common scripture. You all are aware of it. Most of you can quote it. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 16. Anybody excited for the Word of God? If you got your Bible, hold your Bible up in your hand and say, this is the only thing, the only tangible object that represents truth. The Word of God, it tells me, it allows me to discover about myself. My heart will lie to me. My mind will deceive me. But the Word of God will tell me the truths about myself. Will explain to me my spiritual condition. Will tell me about eternity. Will tell me about judgment. I got to have the Word of God in my life. I want to absorb it. I want to eat it. I want it to be a part of everything that I do. Praise God. Thank God for the Word of God. In life, you cannot operate life by your feelings. You can't live for God by your feelings. But just because of your body chemistry, you'll have days when you're up and you'll have days when you're down. You have days when you feel good and days when you feel not so good. But that's why we don't judge our walk with God by our feelings. We look into the mirror of the Word of God, and it tells us that we are children, that we are heirs, that we have hope, that we have promise, that I got victory, that I got joy. In the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned. And Adam had the Spirit of God. I'm going to let you sit down in just a second. He was made in God's image. And he had the Spirit of God. He had communion. He had a direct line with heaven. And when he transgressed the covenant of God, the Spirit died within him. Or the Spirit, maybe more definitively, was deadened within him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and nothing was made that wasn't made by him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When Adam sinned, the lights went out. When Adam sinned, the light that was in him from God was his life. And now that light was darkness. And the scripture says that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. So now that I have this deadened spirit previously, and now I have to work through this thing called soul and this thing called a carnal mind, I got to have the Word of God that sheds light, the Word of God that gives me direction, the Word of God that lets me plan my future, the Word of God that teaches me and instructs me in the ways of righteousness. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm just trying to warm up, folks. Trying to feel a little comfortable, you know what I'm saying? Hello. All right, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 16. Of course, this is a very common scripture, and to set the stage for it, this is directly after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost. Peter's first sermon as he's filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is within him. And verse 16 says, as Peter's preaching, he says, he's describing what's happening here, what happened in this upper room. All these people are around, they say, that looks kind of crazy. That looks kind of crazy, but we're interested to know what's happening. Do you think if somebody came in this building and they knew anything about Pentecost, I want them to say, hey, what those people got, I want it. What those people have, I need it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to get something good from God because I'm sitting next to you. I want to get past the thing of coming to church just so I can get my blessing. I want to come to church so I can bless somebody else. I want to come to church and be so on fire for God that the person's next to me, they can't help but get caught on fire. Because it's so hot inside of my soul. All right. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise God. Why don't you clap your hands for the Word of God? Lord God, we praise you. Lord God, we bless you. Lord God, we exalt your name in this house. We want to prepare our hearts for your word tonight. Lord Jesus, I feel your word heavy on my heart. Lord Jesus, I feel the drawing and the wooing of your spirit upon me. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I begin to deliver this word, that all those that are in this house would feel the overwhelming spirit encompass them, would feel your anointing, would feel the tugging and the pulling of your spirit, and that they would respond to it, and that you would work in a mighty way. I understand, Lord Jesus, that I can't do it by my intellect. I understand that I am weak and I am absolutely nothing, but I've got to have your word, Lord Jesus, to work in this place. I know that it's not by might, nor by spirit, nor by power, but it is by your spirit, Lord Jesus. I'm asking your spirit to come into this place, even now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated. Praise God. Glory to God. Very, very common scripture, very scripture that we all know and we all can quote. And my message tonight is simply, and again, I really, there's no doubt that it's God, and there's no doubt it's for me. I'm just getting the opportunity to talk, to preach to you and to tell you about it. But I am talking to somebody in this place who is hungry for a manifestation of God's Spirit in your life. I'm talking to somebody who wants to see the wonder and the glory of God move at your job. Hey, not just in the church house where I feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps, where I feel the presence of God, but I'm talking to somebody who wants to feel that power when you walk in your school, when you walk in your home, when you walk at your job. I'm talking to somebody who wants to have the word of God in your mouth where you begin to witness and testify on your job, and they feel the power of God and they say, there's something different about this person. They're not regular. They're not the status quo, but there's something about you that I want, that I need, and you're able to deliver them the word of God and they're able to be saved according to the scriptures. I'm talking to somebody who wants to see the demonstration of the Spirit. Too long have masses of Christianity been imprisoned by the idea and the ideology that they are just spectators. That they have just come, and it's up to just an elite few. It's up to just a clergy to see the spiritual power of God move within them. It's up to the man of God to lay his hands on you and have a healing. You are a minister. You do have the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say to all the preachers. It says to all those that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not the clergy. Not the one on the platform. Not the one behind the pulpit. It's all those that believe. Do I have a believer in this place? Do I have somebody say, I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the power of God. I believe that he died, that he rose again, and that he's still working today. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it said that God ascended up on high and he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. What were those gifts? We call it the fivefold ministry. He said it's apostles, it's prophets, it's evangelists, it's teachers, and it's pastors. And what's it for? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, till we all come into unity. Unto a perfect man, to the full stature of God. And we're not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that we have a foundation. Our apostle, our prophet, our pastor, our evangelist, they impart these things to us. And every time I read that scripture, I look at that, and it appears to me that it says for the work of the ministry, talking about the prophets, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists. But as I've heard, and I haven't done necessarily due diligence about this, but I believe it, and it just registers in the Holy Ghost that it is fact and that it is true, that when you really really look into the original text of that scripture, when you look into the original Greek in that scripture, it does not mean that that is left up the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ is left up to those fivefold ministries. What it means is that God has given you those ministries. He has given you the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, so that they can impart to you, so that they can teach you, so that you can work your ministry, so that you can go out and build the body of Christ, so you can go out and witness and tell it and bring them in. The church is indicative of a shepherd, right? Shepherd and the sheepfold, right? The shepherd is not the one that reproduces. It's the sheep. My God, it's a revelation for me and for everyone to understand that God's desire is all of us to be used by the Spirit, called by the Spirit, and mightily impacted by His power. It's not just up to the clergy or up to the pastor. It is his job and the working of the body to impart to us. Praise God. So having said that, all of us, if you're in this place and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've been entered into a covenant with God, then all of us have the capacity to be mightily used by the Holy Ghost. If we are believers, in my text in Acts chapter 2, it says they shall prophesy. I want to prophesy. I want my children to be prophets. My God, I want to see dreams. I want to see visions. I want to see these things in my life. Now, every person that's in this place, or the majority of you, a lot of you here, have already tasted of the book of Acts. You've tasted of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. But it doesn't stop there. I want it more. I want it all. God, let me prophesy. God, let me see a dream. Have a vision. Impart it to my children. Jesus' name. Praise God. I want it in a higher degree of frequency. I want it in a greater degree of quantity. Praise God. Glory to God. The apostolic people, the Pentecostal people, we are word people. We are word oriented. Most all of us can quote a lot of scriptures. Most all of us have it inside of our heart. Right? Now faith's in your mouth, right? Woo, my God. When Jesus walked out when he was asleep on that boat, and it was the storms and the winds, and he walked out there, you think he gave him a Baptist nod? No, he spoke to it. Because when you speak, you release your faith for God to move. Now, if I say something good in this place, you ought to say amen. If you don't say amen, then I think you don't believe it. But when you say amen, then you release your faith so that you can receive it and God can work in you. Woo! Heard that somewhere. Oh, but we know the word. We got the word inside of us. But it is time for us to show the world the God of the word. It's not enough for me to be able to quote scripture. It's not enough for me to be able to just look chapter and verse. I got to be able to show people, show those that are hungry, show those that are lost, show those that are plagued by cancer, plagued by infirmity, plagued by disease. I got to be able to show them the God of the word. Now, I started this thing off saying that I'm preaching to me. This is to me. This is to me. If there's anybody out here that wants to grab hold of it, then so be it. But it's for me. And I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. I got to have it. Glory to God. The scripture says this shall come to pass in the last days. I think it's pretty obvious. And we've been hearing this discussion for quite some time about Iran and that president that I'm not going to try to say his name. All of a sudden, he can just smooth that thing right out there. He does that with all kinds of words. The guys in the back, they'll be typing it up on the computer. Is that a word? He make that one up? Oh, yeah, you thought it. Just a man's got a vocabulary, doesn't he? Whew. But we've been hearing about the last days. We've been hearing about Iran and nukes. And they got the nuke. And I about tried to say it. The president of Iran, he said he wants to cause a cataclysmic event so that he can bring the Iman, their Messiah, to this world. And we understand in the book of Revelation that the scripture says there's coming a war, and it's gonna emanate from the Euphrates River, from the area of Iraq and that Middle Eastern area, and it's gonna kill 1/3 part of men. The Bible says in the last days there's gonna be perilous times. If you're asleep at the wheel, you need to wake up. If you can't see that we're in those times, you better wake up, my friend. Acts chapter 2 says, in the last days. Paul says in the book of Timothy that perilous times are going to come. Men are going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be unthankful. They're going to be unholy. They're going to be liars, adulterers, fornicators, disobedient to parents. They love pleasures more than they love God. Anybody ever seen that? You can't drive down the road without seeing a billboard that is full of fornication and lewdness. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. I want to appropriate all of the book of Acts that it has for me. Do you know that the book of Acts is the only book that does not have an ending? The only book that does not give a conclusive ending. Why? It's still going today. The church is still alive today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to move. He wants to draw. He wants to call us. The Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen, right? The promises of God are yes and amen. So the promises of God are not conditional. God said, I got it. It's right here. It's my promise. It's yes and amen. There's no maybe in that. But the maybe lies within humanity. The maybe lies within the person to appropriate, to do something, to cause those promises to be unleashed into the world. To be poured out in my life. I'm talking to somebody tonight who's hungry for a manifestation of God in their life. I'm talking to somebody tonight who wants to know the catalyst, the key to bring it to pass in your life. Who doesn't want to be just a common person, just part of the crowd. The crowd, they're everywhere. But a hero, when something happens, when tragedy happens, the hero steps out and makes something happen. I'm talking to somebody who wants it in your life. Hey, is there anybody like that in here? Or are you just happy maintaining the Christianity you got right now? Hey, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. I don't want to be happy just maintaining until I'm saved. Maintain until I go over in glory. The commission is here. The commission is on this earth. Not over there. Praise God. And as I pray to see for God to, I said, God, what is the catalyst? What is the key to unlock the door? What is the key to bring forth these things in my life? And I feel like God gave me direction. And he sent me back to the book of Joel. Dawson, you got your mic? We understand that this passage, the text that I read, is from the book of Joel. And as I began to talk to God to see, Lord Jesus, what brought this to pass? What is going to bring this to pass? I felt impressed to look into the preceding verses in the book of Joel that led up to the verse that we read tonight. I'd like to start in Joel chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse 12. There is no doubt in my mind that anybody here, that anybody in this place can be used in a great way by God. We spoke before that the promises of God are not conditional, but the condition is me. The condition is me. So God, I want to know the key to unleash giftings. Hey, you might just want to live in carnality, but not me. I want to see the gifts of God move in my life. I want to be used in the working of miracles. I want to be used in the gift of prophecy. I want to be used in the gift of tongues and interpretation. I want to be used in discerning of spirits. I want God to anoint me. And I'm about to give you the key to unleash it in your life. I'm about to give you the key to have the anointing, to have the gifts of God, to be used of God in a mighty way. Glory to God. Dawson, if you'll begin in Joel chapter 2 and read verse 12 for me, please.
Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting.
Okay, go ahead. He said, I want every bit of your heart. You can't leave anything on the side. I heard a story a long time ago about an angel of God that appeared to a preacher. He appeared to a preacher and he said, I've come to check your zeal. I've come to give you a breakdown in the percentages of the zeal of God and the fire in your life. Your zeal for your hobby. Your zeal for your job. Your zeal for something else out there in the world. He said, I'm going to give you a percentage of it. If that angel were to appear to you tonight and do the same thing, what would be the highest percentage in your life? You only got so much passion. I only got so much time. I only got so much zeal. I want to have as much of it as that I can invest it in the kingdom of God. God, take all my heart. I'm not leaving any in the closet. I'm not leaving any aside and say, well, you can come to this part of my life, but I'm not going to let you in that door. Are we home people? Are we home folks here tonight? Say, God, I like that anointing. God, I like that goosebump stuff. But I don't know about that commitment stuff. I don't know about that separation stuff. Woo. But God, I want him to have every bit of my heart. Lord, it's open. Lord, I'm not even my own. I'll give it all to you. The first key to unleash the power of God to see that happening on your job. The first key is every piece of you, every part of your being, being filled with his presence. Now, I understand. Please don't make me qualify that you've got to work and you've got to do natural things. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I don't see a lot of people in here missing work. But I want the power of God, so I'm going to give him everything in my life. You only have one life. That's all you got. You only have so much time. That's one thing everybody has in common, the same amount of time. What am I going to do with the time God's given me? What am I going to do with the things God has given me, the life he's given me? God gave me health. God gave me strength. I'm here today under my own power by the grace of God. What am I going to do with that time? What am I going to do with that health? I'm giving it to him. I'm offering it to him. Well, I got to move. Keep reading.
And with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning.
Consecration. Crying out to God. Does anybody have a burden for you, for this city? Does anybody have a burden for the lost souls in this city? Does anybody, I don't know if you want to ask God to let you see the world like he sees it. Does anybody say there's an epidemic in this world and it's called sin and it's going to take this world to a devil's hell and the only hope they have lies within my hands? All right. What the God? I'd give him my whole heart. What the God that I'd have a burden? Can I tell you joy comes from burden? Joy, true joy, comes from a burden to see somebody set free, to help somebody in need. Jesus told the parable. He left the 99 white envelopes. And he went to the one that was lost. And when he came back rejoicing. Because he had found that one that was lost. True joy comes from burden. God, give me burden for the lost. God, let me understand that is your primary objective. And Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So if you're inside of me, then I know that you're driving me to testify of your goodness, to tell of your power, to tell of your grace. Hallelujah. Go ahead and read verse 13, please.
And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God.
For he said, I want you to rend your heart and not your garments. It's not just all about what's on the outside. I don't want to be a plastic Pentecostal. Oh, so you look good on the outside, but inside you have no desire. God, give me desire. God, give me the want to. That's great to look good on the outside, but I don't want it just on the outside. I got to have it burning within my soul. Does anybody in this place have it inside of your heart? Anybody say, I'm going to clean up on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a fireball. Rend your hearts. And not your garments. The key to unleashing God in our midst. And unleashing revival in this city. Intercession. Prayer. Consecration. Giving him all your heart. And having it just as hot on the inside as you might have it on the outside. Glory to God. Keep reading, please.
And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly.
All right. He said, I want to blow the trumpet. What's that indicative of? That's indicative of somebody's going to war. Somebody's going to battle. He said, I want you to blow the trumpet. Do I have somebody in this place? Is there anybody in this place that's willing to go to war? That's willing to fight? That's willing to fight for the kingdom of God? Do you hear the trumpet of God saying, I'm calling up the troops. I'm calling the soldiers of heaven. And we're about to go to war. I'm not going to sit back on the sidelines of the barracks somewhere. I'm ready. I'm prepared. I got my war clothes on. I got my armor on. Keep reading, please.
Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders.
Okay, stop right there. He said, it's time to gather the people. The hour is late, but we are the people. You know, that's one of the first things you've got to realize is who you are in the kingdom of God. Say, I got the truth. I know I got it. There's a lot of people out there in deception and lies and falsehoods. There's a lot of people out there that seek to deceive you. I'm talking about, quote, Christian people. All they want is your money. All they want is your pocketbook. All they want is your tithes. But can somebody in this place say, I know I got the truth. I know I got the way to heaven. I know I got it. Praise God. He said, sanctify yourself. Yes. Go ahead, verse 17, please. I'm wrapping it up. I got more. I'd already skipped a bunch of what I had right there. I know you guys got to go to work in the morning. Hey, it's real, right? And the clock rings, and that's real. All right, verse 17, please.
Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage.
Okay. Praise God. He said, I got to have somebody who's going to cry out for this city. I got to have somebody that's willing to stand in the gap for in this city. I got to have somebody who's willing to make intercession for the people that are going, that says, he said, O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore they shall say among the people, where is thy God? He said, I got to have somebody to cry out. I got to have somebody to keep them from reproach. Does anybody have a made up mind? Ain't no devil gonna rule over me. Ain't no devil gonna reproach my children. Ain't no devil gonna reproach my family. Ain't no devil that's gonna reproach my kids. You're not gonna reproach my household, because I'm gonna be an intercessor. I'm standing in the gap for my city. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptize us tonight with a willingness to intercede, with a willingness to have burden, with a willingness to lay it on the line. Prayer. It has been historically true throughout all Christianity that the key to every revival in the history of Christianity is prayer. The greatest, most productive thing you can do on the planet is pray. Isn't that right? The most powerful person on the planet, in the cosmos tonight, is that one on their knees crying out and praying. Prayer is a key to unleash the supernatural. To unleash God where he can talk to your mind and you can communicate it to someone else. I read a story about Charles Finney, and I'm not going to get into his doctrine. God responds to faith. God responds to faith. You may not be right with God in covenant, but you can have a miracle because God responds to faith. Charles Finney, they said, he's an old-time evangelist. This dude is old. He'd been in the grave a long time. He was traveling. He's an evangelist. He was traveling on the train. And they said he went through a a town in upstate New York. Small town. And they said when the train passed through, that the presence of God radiated and inundated that town so strongly and so powerfully that the guys in the bars began to fall on their faces and fall on their knees and cry out for God and cry out for God's mercy. That's powerful. He didn't even stop. He was driving through or on the train, just riding through. But the presence of God was all over him. There was a reporter, Charles Finney evidently didn't talk a lot about how he got that power. He may have talked about the power, but he didn't talk a whole lot about how he got it. So a reporter set out, so I'm going to find out what the secret is to this guy. So he started spying on him and started following him wherever he went. And he came to the conclusion that the man's power came from the hours that he spent in prayer. You've heard it. I've heard it. I'm going to say it again. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no relationship. Much prayer, much power. But in this world, and this time is so short, and it seems like you don't have enough time to get everything done, but there's one thing I can't lay aside, and that's my prayer time. Now, if I just want to be status quo, then I might not have to pray much. I just ride the church, folks. I just ride from service to service. But no, that's not the will of God. The will of God is for me to work my ministry, for me to be used of God, for me to be a conduit for God to impact this world. He's not going to come knock on your friend's door. He's not going to go knock on your family's door. He's going to use my hands. He's going to use my feet to go there. I'm trying to wrap it up. I promise you that. No, I ain't going to do it. I appreciate that, though, brother. Woo. He'd be thinking about me in the morning, that brother Reggie, man. I hope Pastor don't go too much. All right. Glory to God. Go ahead, Dawson. Where'd we stop? Read 18.
Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil.
Okay, so when you do these things, you're going to get everything you need. You don't have to fret about the economy. You don't have to fret about whether you're going to have food tomorrow. You don't have to fret about all these things. If, that's a big two-letter word, isn't it? If you apply yourself, God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of every need. You don't even have to think about it. God's going to take care of it. Go to verse 20.
But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate.
When you begin to cry out to God, when you begin to intercede, when you begin to give all your heart to God, the devil's on the run. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, we got the devil on the run. When I begin to do these things, I drive him into barren lands. I drive him into desolation. Keep going.
With his face towards the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things.
All right. Let's skip down due to the time. Let's skip down to verse 23.
Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
He said, I've given you the former rain moderately. The former rain, most people would confess or most people would testify, is the book of Acts. The book of Acts, they had signs. When they walked into a place, there's something happened. They'd walk out of a prayer meeting and see the miraculous power and the glorious wonder of heaven. The book of Acts, they shook their city. They turned it upside down. You don't get an idea in the book of Acts than when they walked into a place that they didn't know that's those people. That's those people right there. That's the apostolics. They ain't like the world. They got something that's real. Real inside of them. You get that impression in the book of Acts. He said the former rain is going to be moderate. Moderate compared to what? Moderate compared to what? The latter rain. What's going to happen in the last days? The demonstration that God's going to do in the last days. I want to be a part of it. I want to have a piece of it. He said, they that know their God in the last days, they shall be strong and do exploits. God, give me a piece of that. God, I want a piece of that. But you know, everybody wants to be successful. You can ask anybody. You can ask anybody. You can go wherever you want to go. Say you want to be successful in life. You want to have a bunch of money. You want to have a big business. You want to have a bunch of degrees on your wall. I say, yeah, man, that'd be good. That'd be good. I could get what I want. Everybody wants to be successful. But not everybody is willing to put the time and put the effort into it to bring it to pass in their lives. But I believe that I myself and others in this place are saying, I got the desire, I got the want to, I want to be successful, but I'm willing to put forth the effort, I'm willing to get on my knees and pray, I'm willing to go out there and testify, I'm willing to talk about it, I'm willing to be used of God, because I want to see that latter rain in my life and in my city. If he's going to use anybody, why not me? Oh, I hear it right now. But I still got some things I'm working on, Lord. I still got some weaknesses. I still have some shortcomings. I still have some flaws. I make mistakes. I say some things sometimes that I know I shouldn't be saying. The word of the Lord is heavy on me. He said, don't worry about what you don't have. I'll use what you got. If you got a little bit of faith, if you got a little bit of believing inside of you, I'll take that and I can work a miracle out of that. Just as long as you got some, just as long as you got some, God can use it. I'm not letting the devil beat me down because I got some weaknesses, because I'm not everything I want to be yet. I'm not letting him hold me hostage or hold me back. I'm going to step forth and be used to God, and I'm going to take what I got, and God's going to use it. And as he begins to use it, then I get rid of those habits. I get rid of those weaknesses. And I improve on my day-to-day walk. Praise God. I'm closing, Lindsay. I'm hungry. I'm not just preaching. I don't know how to preach. This is like a process. I'm learning. I'm in like growth, you know. It's like on the job training. Anybody ever in that? On the job training. I'm not just preaching. My God, I want it. I got family that needs God. God has given me this precious truth. My Lord. It's my responsibility. I take responsibility for it. The world's messed up. They need you. They need me. I gotta lay aside things that really don't matter and spend time drawing close to God and seeking after God and praying and interceding and giving him my heart, because got to have a word for those in need, for my family, for my loved ones. God has given it to me. He's given it to my hands. Revival's in my hands. Glory to God. Let's all stand, please. I close with this. I heard this a while back. I've told it before in the prayer meeting a long time ago. Told it to maybe a two or three of you. But I was listening to a service. And in this service, the gifts of God were in operation, like they do here. Praise God. And there was a tongues that went forth and an interpretation. And God spoke in the interpretation. And he said this. He said, would you call to me? Me, the creator of all. And say, give us that. That they originally had. Give us that. That is genuine. That's what I'm talking about. The book of Acts. What we read on those printed pages. Me doing it. You doing it. He said, would you call to me? I am the fountain of everything that is pure. Of everything that is virtuous. Of everything that is holy. Would you cry to me and say, give us that which they first had? I answer you. I will give it to you. When you give me what they gave. For they gave me their hearts. They gave me their brokenness. They gave me everything in their lives. And they poured their spirits out to me in contrition. And I gave them that which they desired and that which they needed. He said, I stand now ready to give you what you ask. It is my desire to bring you not to brass, but to pure gold. But I cannot give to you that which is pure. Why you hold back from me that which I desire. He said, I say unto you again, turn from your flesh, turn from your antics, turn from your church games. Break up your spirit, break up your fallow ground. And I, the genuine, will give to you that which is genuine. If you are the one that I've been talking to, if you feel like God, you feel the wooing, the drawing, the calling, the compelling of the Spirit to step it up a little bit, to call upon His name, to see evidence in your life, what you read about in the book of Acts, I got to have it. This message is for me. I know it's for me. I'm going to see it. If you're that person that says, I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to intercede for my city. I'm willing to lay my heart on the line. I'm willing to lay my life out there. I'm willing to push aside some things so that I can see the glory of God in my life. You ought to come up to this altar right now. You ought to begin to cry out. Cry out to God and say, God, I want to see you. I want to see this in my life. I hear the keys. I hear the message tonight. And I want it. I need it in my life. My family is dependent upon it. My co-workers are dependent upon it. My life in you is dependent upon it. If you're in this place and you never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the foundation that all this begins. To be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. If you've never done that, you come up to this altar and we'll pray for you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, but it's been a week, that's too long for you not to speak in tongues. Get it tonight. If that's you, tell somebody next to you. We'll pray for you. God will touch your life. God will move in your life. Let's cry out. Let's worship Him for a few minutes here. Happen in me. It's going to happen in you. We are victorious. We are the people of the Most High. Tomorrow when you go on your job, tomorrow when you buy that product, you have the revelation that I am the difference maker. I am the one. I've got the keys. I've got the answer they're looking for. I've got what they need. And I'm not ashamed to tell it. I'm not ashamed to spread it. Why don't you, before we leave, why don't you lay your hand on somebody next to you and pray for them that God would use them in a mighty way, that God would lead them and God would guide them, that the Spirit would lead them into all truth and direct them to those that are hungry and those that are needy. Revival is in my hands. Revival is on me. I've got a ministry. I've got a job. I've got a call of God on my life. Today's the day for somebody to speak in tongues for the first time. Tonight's the night for somebody to speak in tongues that hasn't spoken it in a long time. Tonight's the night for restoration. Tonight's the night for a refreshing. I don't want to rush it. God move. Thank you. church, there's somebody praying. Let's keep praising Him. If you're in this place, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. Tonight, we got water.